Good evening and welcome to the call. It's so good to have you here with us. Tuesday night is the night that we get together and have this celebration of life, an opportunity for us to go through the six qualities of an intentional creator. I was going to ask somebody to do this, and I didn't. If there's anyone on the phone who was at our women's retreat last week, could you come off of mute just for a moment? Just press star six. Is there anyone on the call tonight who was at our women's retreat last week?
Teresa here.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Dave.
I thought I heard your voice. That's why I dared to ask the question. It's so good to have you on the call tonight.
I was going to tease and see if you could tell who I was.
Teresa, would you take just a moment for the benefit of those who are on the call and just say a word or two about your experience last weekend at the Og Mandino Women's Retreat?
Oh, my. Don't know where to start with that one, Dave. You caught me off guard. But it was the most wonderful experience of my life, I tell you. We had, 14 women, I think, up at the cabin with Dave and Ramona. And the Lord just blessed us, and we just had a great sharing time. And he just certainly, for me, at least personally, just opened my heart in a new way and gave me so many blessings and visions for my life. I'm just so excited, and so far it's still just got me full and brimming over with just exhilaration. I can't even put it into words, really. It's just been a great blessing to share in both giving and receiving at the retreat we had up the lake. It was just a wonderful time, both from the talking as us women could get together and share all night long, or just the ATV riding and playing in the mud. We had from everything from getting dirty to going to the spa and having a wonderful, relaxing 8 hours of just pampering ourselves. So Dave and Ramona certainly knew how to pamper us and get us back to basics with caring for ourselves, which is so important for us. So it's just a wonderful weekend, Dave. Thank you again so much.
Well, thank you for sharing. For those of you who are wondering, what is the perfect Christmas present to give your wife or significant other, we're going to be planning a new one and letting everyone know probably sometime in the latter part of January. Instead of ATVing, we'll be doing some snowmobiling. So it'll be just covered with snow, and those mountains will be incredibly beautiful. And we'll spend another eight-hour visit to the spa and with Tiffany Siemens. What an exciting experience that was for the women. And it's just great to have everybody up there and see you take on your lives with such courage. The divine nature of a woman, what a powerful, powerful thing. I've been blessed to be married to one amazing woman, Ramona. And I think these women, when I hear from them and they say what's their favorite thing, I think it's just kind of hanging out with her to see just what is possible. So what a great experience. And thank you, Teresa, and thanks for all those who are on the phone who were with us. We look forward to our next occasion and another women's retreat at the beginning of the year. So save those Christmas dollars and send your wife to the women's retreat for a Christmas present. I don't think there could be a better one. Well, it's great to be with everyone tonight. Tonight, we take on a very interesting topic, especially one that's timely for where we are right now in our lives. I just put on another level of mute to see if I could cut out that noise in the background. It's not from any of you, just a little bit of an echo in the phone. I think we've succeeded. Each week, we take on one of the six qualities of an intentional creator. And those of you who are with us who are guests, I'm going to spend just a moment to explain that so we have a better understanding of where we are in the process tonight. We begin with the quality, number one, connecting with people. And we discover that the experiences we've had in our own life are really the greatest gift we have when we own them and use them in the service of another person. Then we learn how to manage our thought processes. Quality number two, our goals and expectations. Use our mind constructively so that we can receive inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. These ideas that ignite our passion, passion that drives our focus and our discipline and our effort and our action. Then quality number three is completing tasks. This is living in the now in passion-driven action, knowing that when we are doing all that we can do, we're using our gifts fully, we're endowed with more ability, and people are put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. I can't say too much tonight, but I had one of those experiences today, as profound as I've ever had. It's going to be very exciting in the weeks to come to share with you what happened tonight. It happened just the way I had imagined it. When the time was ready, the person would come into the company's life and to be ready to take this to the next level. Not just the company. This is a very specific project we've been focused on for 10 years. It's just amazing how it unfolded. I just want you to know, and I will give you details in the weeks to come, that when you can, in great and good conscience, turn to that power I call God and say, I have done all that I can do, and you are acting on those inspired ideas and impressions with great passion, and we're doing all that we can to fully maximize the gifts we've been given, that there will be people simply put on our path who we can serve and who can serve us. I'm very emotional tonight about this, and I'm looking forward to being able to tell you the rest of the story. But when I do, remember that it started this afternoon, November 9th. Pretty miraculous. These are true principles. There is a power greater than us. And when we engage in connecting with people, we'll be inspired. We'll step into their world and create a safe place and take down their walls of resistance. When we are seeking guidance through using our mind, one of five constructive ways, we do have given to us, manifest to us, inspired ideas. Now, those ideas don't become tangible reality until we then come into the now and with the passion from that vision, take the action necessary to create. And when we do, that same power endows us with more ability when we're fully using what we have, and we'll put those people on our path. These aren't just vapid words. This isn't a hollow comment tonight. This is coming from the depths of my soul. And I know some of you on this phone need to have these moments in your life right now. There are things going on that are so trying and so frustrating that you just don't know what to do. The answer is, listen tonight as we go through finding joy in the journey. This is taking these first three qualities and then quality number four, discipline and structure, letting go of that need to be right and that resistance and that rebellion, and following the laws of abundance to their exactness. The message tonight in preparation for this and throughout the night will be, don't waste your time in catastrophe and fear and anxiety. We cannot create anything when we're in that space. Let us stay in creation, following these principles, because again today, again, as has been repeatedly witnessed, the door is open and a person is put on our path. It is quite amazing. It is beyond this world. But it doesn't happen the way some would like you to believe, where you sit in an easy chair and envision a Lamborghini with enough intention and somehow it shows up in your garage. That's a lie. Forgive me if that insults anyone. It's just a lie. This is how you intentionally create your dreams. And when we find joy in the journey, which we'll talk about some very critical pieces tonight, that are so important for many of you to hear, because some of you are struggling with some really painful things. Then next week we're going to take on self-esteem. What causes challenges in self-esteem? How do we heal our self-esteem? We'll talk about the three major causes. We'll talk about the six ways to heal. This will be a session you will not want to miss next week. But all of these qualities leading up to that one, and this one tonight, finding joy in the journey. Now, there's a lot that's misunderstood about some of these steps in finding joy in the journey. And the first one has to do with the topic of gratitude. So just write down a piece of paper, gratitude, and take some notes. How can we be in the now, wanting more than we have, yet be grateful for what we do have? This is a paradox, unless we understand the principle. I want to be really clear. Gratitude is not about saying, this is all I have, and this is all I'll ever have, and I'm okay not having any more. In fact, I'm so grateful that I have what I have. Sorry for the melodrama. It could be a lot less or even worse. Oh, poor me. At least I have this. I am deeply grateful life didn't take away any more than it did. That's not gratitude. You know, that's sackcloth and ashes, wearing it where everybody can see it. Gratitude is about having a deep sense of appreciation for the solid foundation of reality on which to intentionally create a different future. It's embracing what we have and owning it as our current reality. This facilitates peace. It removes that obsessive regret, you know, that resistance and frustration and stress and emptiness, envy, that frenetic impatience, and always wanting something other than what we currently have. When we're grateful, we can stay focused in the now, learn the lessons of creation in the moments in which they occur, and at night sleep like a baby. And we are content for a season. And we wake up the next day. We get to honor the giver of these gifts. This is so important for us to reflect on. By investing them wisely and maximizing and creating the most we can with what we have been given and in the time allotted. See, the secret is that we honor the gift and the giver by being grateful for what we have and then focusing on investing it wisely and maximizing and creating the most we can with what we've been given in the time allotted. Everybody got that? It's okay. A matter of fact, it is absolutely not just appropriate, it's imperative that we make the most we can with what we have. The instinct to want more is good. Isn't that great? The instinct to want more is good if we focus it on taking what we have and making the most we can with it. If it's always resentment for not having, now we got a problem. If we are always grateful for that which has been intentionally created that day in partnership with our partner, we are in intentional creation. We express gratitude and we feel joy. We create to commit. We commit to create even more given the opportunity of another day. I'm going to sleep like a baby. I'm content for a season. And I wake in the morning, I'm going to commit to create even more. And when that day comes, we rejoice. Og writes about this. I will live this day as if it is my last. This is scroll number 5. This day is all I have, and these hours are now my eternity. Remember earlier in the scroll, he told us not to waste a moment reflecting on yesterday's defeats of the heart, nor one moment tormenting ourselves over things that may never come to pass. This is my eternity. Right now, I greet this sunrise with cries of joy as a prisoner who's reprieved from death. I lift mine arms with thanks for this priceless gift of a new day. How beautiful. Our vision is more about finding joy in each millimeter of creation than lamenting unrealized escape and avoid fantasies. That's why fantasy is so deadly. We want to engage in life and embrace principles and connect with people and create value in all that we do and contribute to the world. Creation becomes a journey, not a destination. And we receive one of the prizes of life at the beginning and end of each day's journey. It's called joy. Now, we can't experience joy if we're living in resentment and discouragement. In your assessment, this measurement is grateful. It's the second measurement down on the right-hand side. We sometimes explore these questions. You know, I thought by now my life would be, can you fill in the blank? I thought by now it would be, I thought by now I would be where? Richer, more healthy, more successful. When we embrace that that only exists in our mind, what is what is. And the instant we shift from, not that again, to here's what I have to work with, let me create the most I can with this. And we do that each day for 200 days. 200 days from now, it is as good as it can be. However, if we spend one moment in resentment, we are missing hours of creation. Because that resentment causes chemical reactions in our body. And those chemical reactions impede our ability to be conscious and alert and awake. You know, even though although we continue to experience difficult life experiences while in creation, that can cause pain and very real sorrow, we stay focused on the task at hand. What do we know? We know that in far too many instances, dissatisfaction, you might want to write this down, dissatisfaction has less to do with reality. Dissatisfaction has less to do with the reality of the circumstance and more to do with it disrupting or interfering with an expectation. Dissatisfaction has less to do with reality of the circumstance and more to do with the circumstance disrupting or interfering with an expectation. Something exists only in our mind. When we are experiencing gratitude, our only expectation is to show up fully capable, ready and willing to handle whatever life throws at us. We have a vision, but also know we cannot control others or the weather, so we stop trying to do so. I mean, how often does it feel like we're herding cats? We talk about this often in assessment debrief. You know, here we are plowing the road, and you know, we've got our machete in our hand, and we're clearing the vines and the bushes, and we're charging ahead, and we're carrying on a conversation, and all of a sudden we stop and realize nobody's there to hear us. And we turn around and say, where is everyone? Oh, I haven't got time for this. Where are they? And so we go walking back down the road and around the learning curve, and sure enough, there they are, walking around in their fog. We have to put our arms around them and herd them back onto the learning curve and around the learning curve, and it takes all day to get them back to where we were at the beginning of the day. What a waste of a day! Interesting thought. We can't control others or the weather, so stop trying to do so. And let us stop trying to make expectations based on how fast we can run, and know that we often need to bring others with us for our dreams to be realized. And we can only run as fast as they can run. For those with tremendous capacity, that can be frustrating. Yet we have a vision. So we focus on inspiring and supporting and encouraging others. We step into the world. We create a safe place. And we're flexible, and we accommodate any unexpected changes in nature and circumstance. Now, this is ideal. There's no question. It's ideal. But while others weep and complain and resist and kick and scream in frustration, we proactively stick to the work of creation, no matter what circumstances show up. Can you feel it in your soul? We develop a bring-it-on mentality to life, and thus gain an insurmountable advantage over what I've called the vitriolic victims of circumstance. What a glorious place to be. Now, until now, till tonight, it's okay. We're all on a journey learning this. Until now, we may have been trying to keep one foot in fantasy. You know, I want to go ahead into the future and escape to that point and live what it's like. And I know I'm going to get norepinephrine and feel euphoric. And I know within 24 hours I'm going to have this disappointing, catastrophizing, awful experience. I know that's going to happen, but I just can't. I just want to leave one foot over here in fantasy. While we're trying to keep the other foot over here in reality. Now, can you see it? Can you feel you straddling this gap? When we do this, we're unable to charge forward. So tonight, regardless of our circumstances, let us commit to live. Let us choose life. Let us rise early tomorrow morning and take it on. And when the day is spent, let us rejoice for what has been created in spite of those difficulties. Let us focus on what's been learned and how these challenges have provided opportunities for more growth so we can become the person who can create and handle success. Now, I'm sharing some things tonight directly from the material. When I go back and I read some of this, I'm deeply moved because I do remember sitting here 4 o'clock in the morning when some of these very clear thoughts were given to me, and I was writing as fast as they were coming. Starting today, right now, we're no longer going to build our lives on a foundation of fantasy, because fantasy has no foundation. It's a castle in the sky. Thoreau says, that's okay, just build a foundation under it. So we're going to master the quality of finding joy in the journey. We're going to engage in life and each day create another piece in the puzzle called life. Built on the substantive foundation of reality. Can't build on a house of fantasy. Those cards will crumble. But we can on reality. And when night falls and it's time to rest, we're going to experience joyful peace of mind. It's going to be our reward. You know, fantasy is about escaping from our challenges. And then even believing that some great force will change our life simply because we can see it differently and see it vividly in our minds. I shared that with you earlier. The belief that vivid visualization creates tangible reality is a lie. Vivid visualization creates inspired ideas. It's used constructively. Action creates tangible reality. And there's a lot of devastation. We're feeling the fallout right now in our world. From that easy button, had a wonderful conversation with a brilliant woman today from Boston on this very topic, working with some corporations that need some assistance. People are just overwhelmed, and we started talking about her experience. She's been with a well-known network marketing company since 1980. That's 30 years. We were talking about why so many come and go in that business. That desire for ease, something quick, something easy. It's not something to be, we don't want to be critical of anybody who has that feeling, because often that's how it feels, and sometimes it's even sold that way. There is no easy button. But there is joy in the journey when we're in passion-driven action. And we are taking each day that which we've been given and intentionally creating the most that we can with it, thereby honoring the gift and the giver. That's gratitude. Hopefully after tonight you've got a slightly different view of it. Again, the pursuit of wanting more is an inspired pursuit. So long as we don't want to escape to the more, we want to focus on taking what we have and creating the most we can with it, thereby honoring the gift and the giver of the gift. This is a wonderful concept. Because gratitude is not some ascetic, self-denying, you know, poor me. That's not gratitude. So that's our very first principle for tonight. Gratitude. The next one is understanding that in this journey there are going to be things that happen that are painful. It's just part of life. It's having a new grandson born. Blindness. Seeing a family come together and fervently pray to God with all of their power and faith that he'll have some sight, at least maybe in one eye. And knowing that our pain pales in comparison to children in that hospital whose lives are on the line. The sorrow nonetheless. In this section of the material, I have borrowed from one of my favorite books, The Prophet, Khalil Gibran. I'd like to share just a few of his words with you tonight to reflect on. If you don't have the book, you might want to go grab it. He says, "Then a woman said, 'Speak to us of joy and sorrow.' And he answered, 'Your joy is your sorrow unmasked.' And the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oft-times filled with your tears. And how else can it be? And one of my favorite quotes in all of literature, the deeper that sorrow carves into our being, the more joy we can contain. I remember vividly the end of those 10 years of paying back $1 million in debt. Having been stripped of millions of dollars of worth, it's all relative. It doesn't matter whether it's millions or hundreds. It doesn't matter. It's all relative. But spending those 10 years paying it back and learning principles, having very dark nights early on, and finally reaching that point in 2000 when we wrote out the last check for $14,000 to pay off the bank. And it was done. I still remember this overwhelming joy. 10 years earlier, you know, was the life insurance policy the only answer? And I remember vividly getting down on my knees and expressing such deep gratitude and feeling such joy. Joy that could only be felt because of the magnitude of the sorrow that had been experienced. And when I expressed my gratitude, I had this warm feeling come over me and the words, "What did you learn, David?" And I knew exactly what I had learned. It just flowed out of me. And this is what I said. You open the doors of opportunity, and I do the work. When I try to open the doors, I frustrate the program. And when I try to get you to do the work, I frustrate the program. You open the doors, I do the work. And one of the warmest feelings, sensations from head to toe, lesson learned. If that's what those 10 years were all about, I would submit to you that that's an extremely important principle. One, we feel joy to the extent we felt sorrow, and that it is our job to do the work. Gail goes on to say, is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And is not the lute that soothes your spirit, beautiful music, the very wood that was hallowed with knives? When we are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. Let's put this to the test. The joy of being out of debt is heightened by the depth of pain experienced when we're buried in debt. The joy of being with a loved one once lost to years of alcoholism, who is now becoming whole and complete, is heightened by the pain of past memories, the destruction, and the damage. The joy of intimacy is heightened by the amount of love and devotion and sacrifice and service and hard work invested in that partnership. The joy of summer is heightened by the memory of a long winter. look again in your heart, and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Now some will say, joy is greater than sorrow, and others say, nay, sorrow is the greater. But I say unto you, they are inseparable. Together they come, and when one sits with you at your board, at your table, remember the other is asleep upon your bed. And he concludes with this, verily you are suspended like scales between your sorrow and your joy. Only when you are empty are you at standstill and balanced. When the treasure keeper lifts you to weigh his gold and his silver, these must not your joy or your sorrow rise or fall. And when life shows up, and it always does, will it lift our joy or will it lift our sorrow? It will be one or the other. This is part of life. Life is a laboratory in which we are taught the lessons of life. It's a process. May we have the courage to embrace it. That's a tough one. That one is really close to our hearts right now and our family. And I'm sure to many of you. If there's anyone out there who's in one of those really, really dark nights, from me to you, spend time reading these principles and doing all within your power to implement them. And when you've done all you can do, with courage, state so. Learn your lessons well. They will serve you and others for a lifetime. They are never fun to learn. But the day will come when you will be blessing the life of another, and you have only been able to do so because you know what it feels like. So bear your challenges with courage. Stay in creation. Be grateful for what you have and create the most you can with it. And you will be given more. And people will be put on your path who you can serve and who can serve you. In these times of economic challenge, there are a couple of things that can really, besides just sorrow, impede our ability to find joy in the journey. Because when we're passionate about what we do, we're excited about our vision and how each millimeter of creation begins, and how it brings us one step closer to our dreams with each little millimeter, all of a sudden something can start to happen. We move from being grateful to focusing on money and making more money. And it begins to occupy our creative time. Instead of focusing on creation, we're focusing on having. Instead of investing this time in one of the five constructive ways to create a vision that will ignite passion and drive our focus and our discipline and our effort and our action, we begin to obsessively focus on what we do not have. This obsessive desire for money distracts from the very creation of it, both the manifestation of inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to those problems, and the actions needed to create it in tangible reality. We're distracted. We can engage in fantasy about a time when we will have it, or catastrophize in search of reasons why we have been robbed of it. same is true of recognition. When completing tasks, we may think about doing things in a way so that others can notice and recognize our contributions. We can spend valuable creation time thinking about how we can communicate our growing frustrations. Have you ever noticed when you're feeling like you're not being recognized or properly paid, and you just kind of want to slip in those little hints? We can include it in our language. Sometimes they're not that subtle. And worst of all, we'll be too preoccupied to step into the world of others and listen and take down their walls of resistance. We will be more inclined to be impatient and throw up on people's walls and live in frustration when they don't act as quickly as we want them to. This is not a discussion about how much we deserve. That's not the discussion. It's about shifting our focus from passion-driven action during creation time to a need for recognition and remuneration. Just that shift from creation to I need to be paid and recognized, that distraction almost always results in compromises in quality, missed opportunity, and diminished joy in our journey. And to compound the suffering, we quickly create unrealistic expectations about our selfish energy and fractured efforts, which inevitably disappoints. We create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, this seems kind of strange in the world in which we live, where unions are fighting for every dollar of wage and etc. I'm going to invite everybody on the phone tonight to fall back in love with what they do for a living and to realize that finding joy in the journey, once a wage has been set, let go of the money and go do your best, not just enough to not get fired, while they're paying you just enough not to quit. Give it your all. You are in a laboratory learning how to be a creator. Give it your all. And find the joy in creation every place you are, even in the workplace. When you get done with the day, you will be exhilarated instead of exhausted. Think about how exciting that would be. And I'll tell you, the cream always rises to the top. It just always does. You don't need to do it to be noticed. You focus on creation, and you will be. And if it doesn't serve you where you are, you'll find a new home. Everybody with me so far? So let us take on life a little differently. Now, there's a section in the material called Taking on Hard Times. And I tell a story for those of you who aren't familiar with it. Sitting in church in Bear Lake, Utah, on a Sunday. Father sitting next to his paralyzed son. I've experienced this differently than ever before. Just 3 weeks ago, I spent a Friday and Saturday with Chad Hymas. Chad's quadriplegic, broke his neck 10 years ago. And Chad gets up on the stage and speaks, and he says, I don't have legs, I have wings. And the reason why he's so inspiring is there isn't anyone in the audience who has an excuse left for why they're not intentionally creating in their life. One of the great benefits of serving others is discovering that we would most likely keep our own challenges when we become aware of the challenges of another. Now, that's not always true. Sometimes we're hit so hard. I know tonight we have the board of directors of a wonderful organization here in Utah, an organization that serves widows. What a noble cause. We have with us in our own organization a young mother with five children who lost her husband at a very young age, who was with us at the women's retreat this last weekend. Her courage, her strength to show up in the service of other women, grateful for what she has. Oh, the greatest gift we can bring when we're having a difficult time is to show up in the service of another person. It brings courage to them and lifts our own soul. If we can focus thus, we can find joy in the journey, regardless of what we're experiencing. Now, one more piece. In this particular section, we talk about how to find meaning and purpose in all that we do. Here's a great secret. Joy in the journey has less to do with what we do than it has to do with how we do it. So many of us are looking for something that just brings us tremendous passion and fun and is exciting. And that's great. We taught our children, follow your passion. Do something that moves your soul. And the truth is that the way to move your soul is to focus on the service of another person. Now, you may not want to do what you're currently doing for the rest of your life. That's possible. But so long as you're doing, fall in love with it. And the way to fall in love with it is to focus on how you can serve people while you're doing it. Just reflect with me. When we went to the women's retreat, we stopped in the Sizzler to have dinner. And our waiter was Jonathan. Now, we showed up with 16 people unannounced, and they put us in the banquet room, and he was just getting ready to leave. And he said, "I'll stay and serve you." And he went and put tables together and got 16 chairs. And he served us. He just loved what he does. Those who were with us, they'll never forget Jonathan. His spiky hair and earrings showing us all of his scars. He's a spelunker. He loves to explore caves. The time that he ran into a mountain lion and a mad coyote and a cougar and the caves that he explores. And he just loves serving us. Oh, the joy that he brought to us. How could we show up differently tomorrow in the jobs that we do? I was going to bring Teresa back out here. Teresa, are you still on the line with us? Let me take this off of mute.
Yes, I'm still here, Dave.
Teresa, can you come off of mute just for a moment? Just say hi so I know you're with me. Just press star 6. I hope
I'm
she's
here.
Still with us.
I'm
oh,
here.
Good. Hi, Teresa. I always run a risk when I do that. I don't want to divulge any confidences. I was so deeply moved by what you described as a shift in the way you want to show up in life. Would you share with us what has happened in the last 2 days as you have shown up that way?
It's kind of been fun. I told you out there that I had forgotten how to have fun in life, and you know, I'm going right back to the same job that I was frustrated with. I'm right back in my life with the family situation that I'm extremely frustrated with, and for some reason now, I won't say for some reason, I know the reason, but I just find joy in it. How it shifted. I've had people at my work the first morning I showed up Monday morning with, "What's going on with you?" I mean, people were coming by my office just going, "Well, look at you. What's different about you today?" And I haven't seen a smile like that on your face in years, you know. Everybody I've ran into has noticed the change in my outward appearance, and I don't know that I'm doing anything different. It's just an inner feeling of joy back in my life. And I'm still doing the same things I was doing, still writing contracts, still doing very mundane, everyday work. Still having the same family problems, but like you said, I'm showing up differently, and I'm getting an inner feeling of peace just knowing that I've released myself in that control that I had before, that need for control, which I didn't have anyway. And it's just left me just exactly what you were just reading. The deeper that sorrow was hurting is now filled with a joy and peace that just other people are noticing. I'm just so excited to know that they are. I came back in my mind going, now what do I do? What do I do? What do I do to make sure that people know I've changed? And I couldn't get an action plan together. And the one thing I committed to out there that just was so revealed to me was stop analyzing everything. Just let it be, and it will be. It will be as it should be. And I don't want to talk too long, but thank you for letting me share it. It's just been such a joy.
Oh, so delighted you were on the line. And thank you for sharing. Is it contagious when you show up like this?
Yes, it is. That's the last thing I wanted to say was how contagious it's been. In my office, which when I left it just 4 days ago, was feeling like such a negative place, negative energy. People just sitting around, like you said, people are frustrated at work. They're frustrated in life. They're frustrated about finances. And they're frustrated that they haven't had a raise in 3 years because we've had a raise, you know, wage freeze. So many things that's just got people in a negative light. And just walking through the halls and saying good morning and having people look up, because I didn't used to do that. Now I take time to walk through the office and go, good morning, good morning. How are you today? Sat at lunch yesterday, same restaurant I eat in every day. I'm sitting there talking to one of my coworkers about my weekend, and he just looked over at me and he said, it's just so evident in your face. He said, you're just beaming. And he says, what happened to you? He said, I really, truly want to know what happened to you. So I'm sharing with him some of the things, and the waitress comes over. And she had totally been distracted from waiting on other tables and had to reach down to me and say, I want to know. I'm overhearing what you're talking about. And she said, I just need to hear this. She started telling me about some troubles in her life and a 12-year-old boy who has just found out they have cancer, and the mom and dad are just fighting and just horrible things. And she said, I just, there's so much pain. And she said, I just need to hear what you're saying. She said, I just feel drawn to this. And there's people at tables trying to get her attention to come bring their food. And she's just like, can you come back after I get off? She was so excited to just hear that what I was saying. And I'm just sharing my weekend with my coworker. So what you've described tonight is just, I've just witnessed it and experienced it for the last 2 days of what you said. If you open your life a little bit, if you'll empty it of the negativity and the resentment about such petty things in life, God will put people in your path and just give you opportunity to serve, and it just keeps filling, the joy just keeps overflowing. And that's pain that I felt with her, but in a sense, it was just an opportunity to serve somebody. And I went back to her about 2 o'clock when she got off. I went back up there, and I said, here's my name and number. If you'd like me to come and just sit with you, just bring your neighbor, come to my house, or I'll come to yours, and we'll just sit and talk. Just sometimes just letting somebody else listen helps. And she just started crying. She said, are you serious? You would do that? I said, I'd love to do that. I'd be more than happy to do that. I said, I've had a nephew that died of cancer a few years back. I know how it feels. They need someone to can care. They have no church family. They have nothing to support them. No group, nobody to call, no support in life. And that is so commonplace in life today. So it's just, I'm sorry, I'll stop now. But there's just been so many things in just 2 days that have happened to me that's just uplifting.
Well, you're contagious tonight.
Thank you.
Now, if everyone knew the circumstances of your life, it would be even more meaningful. We won't go there.
No, we won't. Not
but for those who are struggling, just know that when you make this choice to show up, you show up free of all of that stuff. Not only are you contagious and blessing the lives of others, your own life is filled in the process. It's a great discovery. Matter of fact, I took it out of my briefcase. It was Man's Search for Meaning. He was talking about self-actualization. On page 110, if any of you have the book, Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about the fact that self-actualization is a byproduct of focusing on the service of another and is never found by focusing on self. So we want to find meaning and purpose in our life. It has less to do with what we're doing and more to do with how we do it. So let us intentionally find more joy in this journey. Let go of those expectations and take what we have and create the most we can with it, and know that it's honorable to do that, to want to take this and make it more. To want more and resent what we have, that's not honorable. But to take what we have and create more, and know that we're in partnership with a power greater than ourselves, and things can happen that are quite miraculous, as we experienced earlier today. That there are going to be times when we have sorrow. And there are going to be times when that joy fills our heart, and that joy is in direct relationship to the depth of the sorrow that we've experienced. We can try to fight everything that happens. That's why Ogden School 10 told us to embrace these obstacles. Why? Because they're going to be there. It's just part of life. If we're resenting every challenge we have all along the way, we're wasting a great deal of time. If we just embrace it and take on each one of those challenges, we'll get through them quicker, and it will be less painful and more joyful. There will be times when things are really hard. We just want to wrap our arms around you here in one of those. And just be with you for a moment. And encourage you to take courage and fight a good fight. One, you'll be able to talk about it and serve others. And two, your example of being so courageous and brave will move the souls of others. In finding meaning and purpose in our journey, let us focus on serving others. Let us show up like Teresa is, having a different conversation with her children, a different conversation with her coworkers, a different conversation with people in public, and being infectious. Because when we bring joy to others, we are the ultimate beneficiary of that joy. Well, thanks everyone for being with us tonight. Next week, I am so excited. We are going to take on self-esteem. This is a wonderful occasion when we get to self-esteem as we cycle through each one of these qualities. Make sure you're here with us next week. This is a This is a very deep and rich conversation of what causes it and how we can heal it. Thanks, everyone. We look forward to being with you next week as part of this process. And we're learning to have joy in the journey. Let us study scroll number 8. I will multiply my value 100-fold. You might also want to take a look at scroll number 10. I will seek guidance.